This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello and welcome to Why Do You Think You've Got No Friends? My name is Emily Lang. I'm an actress, writer, singer, codependent, returnee from rock bottom, and a gratefully recovering addict. And this is the podcast where we aim to rid the shame, the highs and lows and deadly blows that ultimately led us to the lessons that we never knew we needed to learn, but are so grateful that we did. So it can happen more often than we think that we attach a fair amount, if not all of, our identity to a part of ourselves or someone else, whether it's another person, our job, or a feature. When we start to lose that thing in a way that is out of our control, it can be soul-destroying and incredibly frightening. Who are we without this thing? My guest Rob Madge and I are discussing all this and more today.
Okay, so it is 2020. Once again, we like to live in 2020 on this podcast. I think it was a year of many, many traumas for many different reasons. Oh. Remembering the big one, which was obviously my breakup that I had that year. That's, when anyone thinks of 2020, that's definitely what they think about. But this is actually pre-breakup and pre-COVID, and we are currently in Norwich in a hotel whilst my guest today is on tour with the smash musical Les Miserables.
Wow, right language and everything.
I'm so, people forget how talented I am, I have to remind
you. You are multi-talented and very versatile.
Very versatile and so pretty.
And so, just so beautiful as well. Gosh.
But we are in
Norwich. For the rest of us.
No, come on.
Sorry, back to Norwich. No. Yeah.
But we are in a hotel room, and this hotel room is a special one because it is entirely white. Everything is white, including the walls, and I'm guessing the curtains.
Yeah,
and the
walls, curtains, creams as well. Not entirely sort of one grade white, but
eggshell.
You know, eggshell, a bit of eggshell. Yeah.
Like elephant's breath.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Just keep naming types of white, please.
Yeah.
I can't really think of any of those. Slightly grey. I'm not good with my colour charts.
No, I haven't studied Farrah and Ball enough. No. But everything is white. And then this happened. So in this moment, Rob Madge, why do you think you've got no friends?
I think I've got no friends, Emily, because I'm bald. And I think no one wants to hang around people that haven't got hair because it ages them as well. Because it almost looks as though you're old. Everyone wants to appear younger than they actually are.
Right.
And when you're hanging out with a bald person that's the same age as you, it lets everyone know that, oh no, you're actually old too.
Oh, you're actually just slightly over, you're over
yeah.
the hill a little
I'm just,
bit.
I'm just showing the truth. That's all I'm doing. I'm revealing your inner aged ugliness. So people don't tend to associate with bald people, and that's fine. I've learned to live with that. Because it was in Norwich, whilst on tour with Les Miserables, that I turn up to different accommodations each week, as you do on a tour. And I got to this hotel room and I thought, this is lovely and clean and pristine. As we said, all white, all gorgeous. But the problem with an all-white room and all-white bed sheets specifically and pillows is that you notice your hair loss more vividly than if you were in a darker bed. So every morning I'd wake up and I'd see my luscious locks lying next to me. And that's the only partner I've ever had, really. I'd wake up and be like, oh, hi, darling. I'd be like, you've got a lovely head of hair.
It goes and opens the curtains.
Yeah, truly. And it was then that I suddenly realised maybe I do have an issue. And then you start looking into all the different procedures that you can do. There's lots of tablets, apparently. Our Enjolras was lovely. Ad-libbing on that barricade, he'd be, you know, whispering, you know, you need to try this tablet.
While there was someone waving a flag next to you.
Mid-battle. Mid-final battle.
Do you hear the people sing? By the way, there's this stuff.
Have you considered going to Turkey, singing the song that would happen daily? Barney, I love you so much, Barney.
I'm guessing it's kind of once you see it, it then even when you move on and you're not in the white bedsheets anymore, you're still
it's always there in the back of your mind.
Yeah,
you know that then you're just you're disguising the reality of what's actually happening. And still, when I see white bedsheets, I think no, can't be doing this. I haven't even got any hair on there anymore to molt. But Norwich was our last stop on the tour,
right?
Thanks to COVID.
Oh yeah.
So COVID came by. We were there in March, when we were all sent home on March the 16th. And I just thought, thank God I'm getting away from these white bedsheets.
I was like,
wow, thank goodness. Thank goodness a pandemic came to save my balding head. Gosh, that's when you know
that's
it's bad.
Well, that's when we all think about it. We all think about the COVID in that respect, in relation to your balding head and my
breakup. Yeah, and your big breakup. Yeah, those were the two headlines that Chris Whitty was coming on to tell us.
It's so strange when you start to notice something happening and there's something that is so out of your control and something that's really upsetting and may be a sign of, I mean, that there could be a lot of reasons for it. Losing hair is, like you said, often associated with the sign of aging, which is a really frightening thing. Of course, it can mean a lot of different things. My brother's very open about it. He had a hair transplant.
Yeah.
He gets it. But yes, it scared the shit out of him.
Yeah. I think especially when you're doing something that's so reliant on image.
Oh my God.
As much as we like to say that it isn't, everybody tells you that it is. And everything you look at tells you that it is important. So you have to rework the narrative of where you fit in your own industry, which was the shittest bit of it all, really. Because up until then, shittest and the best bit, actually, because up until then I was relying on it so much that I was, you know, going from audition to audition, from like one twink to the other with the roles that I was going for. I was going for all of like the pretty musical theatre boys. And I probably still would be if I still had that head of hair. And I wasn't actually enjoying it that much. So really, once I got rid of it, I was doing less. But the things that I were so right.
More fulfilling, more specific and catered to you and actually better for you.
Yeah, and I ended up doing the things that, interesting, if I'd have got rid of it earlier, who knows what I could have done?
Who knows the places I could have gone?
Who knows?
Did you find when it happened, when you started to notice it happening, did it then just become kind of all-consuming every day?
It's everything.
Yeah.
It's all I would look at. It's all I would...
I'd be in the mirror every,
like, not just the front, like, I'd be looking at the back, sides, everywhere. It's very tragic. And then obviously COVID happened and all the barbers were shut because I was relying on my... you know, skin fade, low grade haircut, which only a good barber can really do.
Yeah.
And then I had to entrust my dad to give it a go in lockdown.
How did he do?
Oh, you know that Fleabag episode where...
I look like a pencil.
Yeah. Well, this is obviously a podcast, but just for the purposes, I took a screenshot earlier because I just thought it would help you. help illustrate it for you.
Okay, guys, for the listeners, we are looking, if you've seen that moment in Fleabag when Claire gets the haircut and she was like, I thought it was French, and she goes, I look like a pencil. If you imagine it from the back and what it might have looked at, yeah. it looks just like that.
That was my dad, and I just felt him going a bit too far, too deep. And I just said, stop now.
Yeah.
And then I got rid of it all. I just thought, now's the time.
When did you make the, did you just make the decision to go,
I made the decision
done.
To just get rid of it, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it really suits you.
Thank you. Luckily, thank God.
Thank
and you know
fuck.
You can do those, you can basically edit your face to look bald if you want to. There's filters out.
And, yeah, yeah.
And I tried them and they just looked awful.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
But I thought I'd do it in real life and luckily it didn't look as bad as those bald filters.
No.
But still to this day, if I were to post a TikTok, a comment would say, I thought you had the bald filter on. I'm like, oh, for goodness sake. No, I'm just bald. For goodness sake. It drives me insane. Whenever I tell people my age, it's always, no, really? I'm like, just keep your opinions to yourself.
God. Why do you think that's helpful? Like, why do you think you making, what like, end do you think that's going
to
have?
I didn't mean anything by it. I just thought, well, just then
keep it to yourself.
Please.
Keep it to yourself.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
You know it's bad when you have to long to be older than you are. I can't wait till I'm 40. Because then, well, maybe people will be shocked that I'm 40. Maybe then they'll think I'm about 60.
No, people
can't believe I'm still in my 20s. So I just can't wait till I'm old.
That's because people are really silly.
Really stupid,
people
aren't they? People are just so dumb.
Fucking stupid.
People are just fucking... Unlike us, obviously. Oh, with all the friends that we have. Lucky us.
Myriads of friends I've got.
I don't need friends. They disappoint me.
Nope. I don't need friends. Like, I don't need hair.
Exactly. Exactly. Wow. That's cutting and true. They are the same, really. No friends, no hair.
You oh,
have hair, have friends.
It's really tricky with something like hair. Because like I said, something being so out of your control like that, because it's not... Like, I've had something discussed on the podcast before. Like, I've had major issues with my weight and things like that, and yeah. wanted to. But that is something that I've attended to because it's very much a way of being in control.
Yeah.
Of going like, oh my God, this thing and this doesn't fit anymore. And so I need to attend to this. I need to
Sure, it's still very difficult.
Really difficult, but it's definitely a thing of control. And I know if something had been very much out of my control and really frightening like that, it would have been completely all-consuming. And
yeah.
also going like, I don't know, constant reassurance or asking people if they notice it. And it's just, it's really tough.
Yeah. And I think being part of the queer community, I don't know whether you could tell, but I don't know if the moustache gave it away or not. I know. But I thought I was a Nazi. But no, I am just non-binary. It's so apparently so important to have some kind of label or distinctive feature as to where you fit under that umbrella.
Mm.
And I know that hair seems to be such an important thing for queerness. Mm. And when you get rid of it, it then puts you in a different subcategory.
Yeah, it's very silly. Sorry, guys. Mickey has joined the chat.
Also, hair seems to still be a free-for-all when it comes to an easy insult.
Yeah.
Because it's not as traumatic as other things.
Yeah, you wouldn't, in the same way if someone had lost a limb, you wouldn't go like, I've got two legs.
Yeah, well, people often focus on someone's hairline online, I notice, as the worst factor about a human being. You know, you could be talking about someone's awful indiscretions, whatever they might be. And they often say, well, their hair, look at their hair. We should have known from that.
Oh,
and like, for goodness sake.
Yeah.
Prince Andrew won't see your tweet about hair loss, but your friends with hair loss will.
Yeah. You know? Oh, that's such a good point.
That's what they do. They're like, well, his hair should have given the game away. Well, like, he's not looking at that.
Yeah.
But I am.
Yeah.
And I'm a nice person.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I couldn't control that genetic defect.
Yeah.
But you know, you learn to work with it, and then you get a little moustache, and then you can cling on to a little bit somewhere.
Cling on to something, find a whole new identity.
Exactly. But, that is truly, truly what I had
It's so true what you say, because I remember as well when everything about with Harvey Weinstein happened, and so many of the comments were like, you know, this, oh God, he's so fat and he's so ugly. Can you imagine? Yeah. And then I remember someone going, if he'd been an Adonis, would this have been all right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Like, it's not.
And
why
the answer
we...
is yes.
Yeah.
No.
The answer is, of
Please.
Course.
Please.
Sign me up.
They'd be like, Dom Anderson. Then, sure. That's a click.
Shout out. Like, if it's so true. Why focus on that particular thing as
of
like,
all things to focus
yeah.
on? Well, just because I think people are lazy.
Yes.
And it's the easiest thing to hone in on.
Yeah.
And they don't have to do any real critical thinking.
Yeah,
they just
look
at the outer
it's
external
like,
image.
When we had Vittorio Angeloni on and he talked about how people point out the fact he's got really small hands.
Oh.
And they would be like, all these comments and be like, don't worry, he's got baby hands. And then he was like, that's fucking horrible, isn't it?
That's just not very nice.
That's just not
it?
Very nice.
I think having little hands is such a little bonus. I do. I think there's these TikToks that go around where people are pranking their parents with tiny little hands when making like a salad or something. And it's like, see how long until mum notices. And the crowd roars with laughter.
Have you seen Kristen Wiig do the...
Yes, exactly that. So there you go.
Yeah, big bonuses.
You
big
will
bonuses.
Make people smile.
It's like how much of... Was your hair a really big part of your identity then?
Yeah. Well, it was, believe it or not, it used to be... truly like my thing.
Mm.
I had very, very thick hair. Mm. And it was in the space of a year that it just rapidly got thinner and thinner.
That's really so,
yeah, my
upsetting.
Hairline was literally just above my eyebrows, almost yeah. too far down actually, looked a bit odd. But I had a massive quiff.
Yeah.
Massive quiff, very thick, luscious locks.
Yeah.
It was the thing that everyone would say, God, I love your hair.
Yeah.
So it was such a feature of mine.
Yeah, yeah,
and then
yeah.
to lose it so quickly, I was like, oh, who am I?
Yeah, that's
now
exactly
I'm just
it.
Short. At yeah. least I had the height.
Fuck.
Yeah. So.
Like, it's, there's when you have something like that and something that, because it's so genuinely hard to cherish bits of ourselves, and we're so hard on ourselves as people and the way that we look, and there's so much pressure on you. And when you do have something, when people go, oh my gosh, that thing about you is amazing,
yeah,
then that goes, you're like, well, what the fuck,
what am I now,
what am I now?
Yeah.
I had it because I've got not to show off, I've got very thick hair.
You do, I noticed.
Thanks.
It's quite embarrassing for me, really, to be honest.
So I'm really sorry.
You thought, I know who you should get for this podcast. Someone who's got no friends and no hair. Perfect. I can really show off.
Because I've got so many friends and like too much hair.
just too much. Actually, you should just lend me some. Give me a wig.
But
shall we cut Emily's
hair? It's very, there's a lot of it. And I remember my eldest brother always going, oh, your hair is your best feature. And, you know, I was like...
Now, I would get told that too.
Yeah.
Can you believe?
Yeah, your hair is
funny.
Your best feature. And I was always like... That's a bit mean.
What about my beautiful personality?
Also, I thought I was quite pretty. Am I?
What about my lovely eyes? And my little button nose?
What about my big old piano hands?
Yeah. No, forehead up, great. Everything below. Don't pay much attention to.
Best feature. Fantastic. Thank you very much. I always said, I was playing this game with some friends quite recently, and I was like, if people had to describe you in like in two words or two, I don't know, statements, what would they say about you? And I was like, do you know what? I think people would go, they'd be like, great memory. No, good hair, great memory, or something like that.
That's nice.
I was like, because that's kind of it. But
good hair, great memory.
Terrible sense of direction.
Right. Yeah.
When I had, always like to bring the break, fucking hell, I always like to bring the breakdown back on the podcast when I had my big breakdown. But my hair started falling out from stress and literally coming out in like clumps. And so I had hair down to like, I don't know, like hit my hips at one point. Like I could sit on it.
Really?
Yeah.
You really are just showing off hair.
But it came out.
I dialed it back
in
a little bit. Well, good. You needed that.
You
needed to be brought down a peg or two and not have such Rapunzel-esque towering hair. Thank God for the clumps.
Literally use it as a rope.
Would literally, didn't even have to wear clothes. It would literally enshroud me
right
in my beauty.
Like Venus coming out of the clam. What the fuck she's doing?
The clam. Yes, I believe that was the academic phrase.
Yeah.
Sorry, no, carry on. Clumps.
It was coming out in clumps. It was really awful. I knew it was to do with stress, but that's when I cut all my hair off as well. And then I was a big part of, I mean, not the same, but being like, well, no, fuck.
Completely.
Now I'm just rocking a bob.
It's beautiful.
Thank you.
It's a lovely bob.
Thank you. But I remember my brother being like, you shouldn't have cut your hair as your best feature. And I was like, do you know what I fucking had to? So.
Know what, Jamie?
No, it was actually Alexander. Dickhead.
Oh, Alexander. Sorry, whole... Jamie. Love you. Love you, Alexander.
Fuck you, Alexander.
No, I love you too.
Yeah, yeah. But it's awful when there's something that you feel safe with that suddenly isn't safe anymore.
Yes. Yeah, one of those things that you just take for granted. Yeah. And then when it's gone,
yeah,
it's gone. So appreciate your hair, kids. Yeah,
appreciate your hair.
Because you never know what's going to happen.
That must have been so... something that was such a big part of your identity and a big... And especially with... I think... And it is tougher in musical theatre as well, yeah. I believe.
Yeah, that headshot change was... Whoa!
Whoa!
It completely changes everything about the people that, you know, you think you've built a career heading in one direction,
yeah,
and then your look completely changes.
Yeah.
And yes, of course, there's still roles for me in musical theatre, but they're few and far between now.
Yeah.
So it sort of shifts everything in a new direction. So
if you could, hair aside, hair not being a factor, if you could play one role in musical theatre...
It's such a basic bitch answer, and every queer person will say this.
Is it Fiero?
No, it is Fiero. Nessa Rose. No.
Wicked Witch of the East.
Actually, I'm all Dr. Dillamond, I think.
Oh my vocal vocal
range is more in a bar territory. No, it would be the MC in Cabaret. Come on. Or Sally, anything in Cabaret.
Have you seen have you been to the Kit Kat Club?
Not yet. And I really am desperate to.
Oofed.
Yeah, I'm going to.
It's very sexy.
Yeah, it looks amazing.
It's very sexy. And I went on my own because I had a friend in it. And I went on my own and sat up in like the bit and I was like, oh, this is very sexy.
I go to the theatre on my own all the time.
I love it.
I'm not sure I go to like a burlesque cabaret show.
It was a little weird.
Yeah.
It's like going to Magic Mike on your own.
Yeah, actually.
A bit fucking odd.
I might do that as a social experiment. I reckon I'd get some good sitcom inspiration from going to something like Magic Mike alone.
Imagine.
Someone would probably write a sitcom about me.
Well, from the other side of the room.
Yeah.
Like,
look at this loser.
Who's this guy with no hair?
Sat on What is the hair? See what I mean? Laziness, that is. Why are we observing the hair? We moved on from the hair. You actually started this whole segment with hair aside. Hair aside, if there's any role. And now it's look at that fucking loser with no hair watching Magic Mike on their own. How did we get here? This is why you've got no friends.
Imagine someone calling the police from the other side of the room. And there's a guy. He's on his own. I think he's a narc.
Probably.
God, I would actually. Do you know what? I would happily go see Magic Mike on my own. I think it'd be quite fun.
Well, yeah.
I think they'd take pity on me. Well.
They'd take pity for a little bob. They'll go, I bet she used to have clumps.
Oh, yeah. You can tell how bad my mental health is depending on how long my hair is.
Sorry, we don't lap dance, Bobs.
Sorry. Do you know what? There was a good portion of time when I, and this is a role that Rob has played on stage, which is the Gavroche in Les Miserables, who I genuinely think is my style icon.
Do you think?
Yeah, I dress like
kind of iconic.
I would say that my style is like Dickensian orphan with like a hint of French Revolution. I think that's how I dress. Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
the little sprinkle of cholera.
Cholera is chic.
Cholera is
cholera, but make it chic.
Cholera, but make it fit.
Yeah, I'm getting like peas pudding vibes. I'm getting like a bit of gruel.
Peas pudding?
Is that what they have? Peas pudding and sausage. Something like
you
that.
You were in it.
I wasn't in that number. It was the one number I wasn't in.
Do you know...
Tragic.
But do you know my big crush growing up was the Artful Dodger in Oliver.
Jack, in the film?
I don't actually know. I think it was just in life.
Just the image.
Like the image of it.
The top hat just got you going.
So fucking fit.
Sexy. Yeah. Something about being streetwise and confident.
Confident.
I was the talk of the playground. And being able to sing and do a little box step.
Yeah, yeah.
Whoa. That gets me going. No, it was a real, I was a bit of an appeal factor in the playground for a year.
I bet.
And then when I lost the top hat, it all went south. It's just the idea of being something that I just wasn't. I'm not streetwise at all. It'd be dreadful.
Are you not?
Oh my God, no, not at all. I need my Google Maps wherever I go.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Wherever I go. Well, so do you.
But I've had to find my own house on the way here.
Yeah, we went on a long pilgrimage.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
So when this happened and, you know, you decided to cut off my hair, exactly, how long did it take for you to accept what had happened and come to
The Instagram likes validated me instantly.
Do you know what? That's okay.
If it weren't for that.
Mm. Yeah.
That's all you have to do, isn't it?
Yeah.
You've got a post to go.
You've got to be brave.
I feel so proud and I feel so free. But really you're thinking, if you don't tell me I look pretty and that it suits me, I am going to...
If you don't tell me, I'm a fucking inspiration.
Yeah, if you don't tell me that I've changed your life and now you are so free and have liberty in your own hairstyles, then I am actually going to quit.
What is the point?
And luckily, it got a few likes. Mm-hmm. For me, that was when I was just starting out on social media. So it was okay. If I got that now, I'd feel like I'd made an absolute error.
So if you could give an example of like the roles you were going for before and the roles you go for, or the roles you're going for after, what would those be?
Pre hair loss.
Or can I guess actually?
Oh yeah, that's more fun. Yeah, go for it.
I say pre hair loss, I'm thinking like
Mayor of Munchkin City. Careful.
I'm trying to think of the bit that he says.
In the county of the Land of Oz. Maybe I'll be the coroner. That's a queer icon right there.
Yeah.
Lollipop Guild, something like that. Sorry.
The Tin Man.
Actually, yeah, I wouldn't mind.
1,000%.
He has a little funnel on his head. I could play that one now.
Little funnel.
He does, doesn't he? He doesn't have hair, does he? I don't think.
It's covered in tin.
Covered in tin.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
But then they get Ashley Banjo to play. It was beautiful. I'm like, save some roles for the Baldies, please.
Yeah, come on. You're taking them away from us now.
Yeah. Sorry.
No, I would think it was like, I would say,
Very brave of you to suggest a game where you've got absolutely no idea.
I was thinking of the one that's in the Addams Family. Not Uncle Fester.
Uncle Fester.
No, the one. The boy in it.
Pugsley. Fantastic.
No, the love interest.
Oh, Lucas.
Yeah. I don't know, I'm just thinking of a rogue one. I'm trying to show my knowledge of musical theatre.
Okay, interesting. So pre-hair loss, I would have been going for love interest. Now it's Uncle Fester. Which is the tea? Which is the tree?
Were you going for like Sky and Mamma Mia?
I was weirdly actually, yeah. They did send me up for that and they sent me up for things like the guy in Copacabana.
Nice.
And yeah, that was a good one. I'd seen La Bamba.
Who else?
That self-tape is hilarious. Honestly, we should include it somewhere because it's awful.
Oh, please, God, I've got some self-tapes.
I just did not know what I was doing. It's always worse when you're self-taping and you have to watch it back and go, yeah, that was it. That'll get me the job.
Yeah, all right. I know, I would have loved, I like used to dream, but I remember watching Billy Elliot when I was about 10.
Yeah.
and coming away and like crying and being so frustrated by the fact that like I wasn't in it and knew that I could never be in it.
Did you ever do anything about that desire?
No, I couldn't. Oh. I had no idea.
You just expected you should have been in it.
I was just like, I was so frustrated by the fact.
I understand that.
Yeah.
I understand. I do understand.
I was really hormonal this week on the bus. And so I watched Billy Elliot, the Olivier Awards, and sobbed.
Oh, weren't they good?
Weren't they good?
Back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
They won, didn't they?
When
they won like best actor. Oh. And then the Little Matildas did.
I would have fucking loved to Matilda as well.
Yeah, you'd have been good in Matilda.
Oh, fucking macrocious little shit.
You could still do it, I think.
Big time.
I think so.
All right.
Well, often they are adults now. They still keep Matilda a kid, but the other kids are often sometimes adults.
We'll see if you're able.
Yeah, very clever song, actually.
It's a very clever song.
It took me a long time. I was in it and I didn't even know.
You were in Matilda?
I was before it came to London.
Oh, were you doing the RSC?
Yeah.
Royal Shakespeare Company.
Really fun story about that.
Go on.
The role that I played, actually.
Was it Bruce?
You are so horrible to me. Yes, it was. No, it wasn't.
He gets his own song.
No, even worse. My role was Reginald. Who is Reginald, I hear you ask? Reginald didn't make it past Stratford. Reginald got the cut.
You originated and ended the
role. I originated and ended a role in Matilda the Musical. There used to be 11 children, now there's 10. They were like, who is the totally irrelevant child that we can chop?
Reginald. Who's Reginald? Exactly.
Exactly. That was it. That really was it. And I'll never forgive them, ever. I'm on the cast recording now. Get second verse in When I Grow Up. Boom.
That song makes me cry.
Yeah, it's a good song.
Well, we were guessing roles before and then after her, but we've actually kind of gone through them, which I would say Tin Man.
Yes.
Tin Man. Unless, you know, they're giving it to Ashley Banjo, which is just not fair.
Just not fair. Oh, he's so talented.
Daddy Warbucks, but you're a bit
young. Daddy Warbucks. I can see that for me. First cover, Daddy Warbucks, maybe. Mm,
yes, exactly.
I'd have to be some
Street
sweeper.
You could do Rooster. Rooster. Like a sexy Rooster.
Yeah, that'd be good. Mm. Alan Cumming was Rooster once.
Yeah.
In the film with Kathy Bates. It was Miss Hannigan. And I look up to Alan Cumming a lot. So I just basically emulate anything he does. I mean, the MC in Cabaret, I just want to be Alan Cumming.
Yeah.
Floop in Spy Kids. That would be a great role. Oh my God. But I'll be the thumb.
What a throw.
We all know that's how that's going to go.
Do you know what
Spy Kids, the musical, the role you auditioned for and the role you got.
I tried to make my my boyfriend, shout out, mutual friend.
Future friend, yeah. Hi. It'll be in Hello Magazine.
Yeah,
soon.
Yeah. Just wait.
Wait for the big reveal.
What was my point about him? Okay, I had a point. What were we just talking about? Oh, yeah, I tried to make my boyfriend Return to Oz. Have you ever seen it?
Fucking terrifying.
One of the scariest movies ever made.
The Wheelers. Oh, my God.
That's what
God.
I was going to say. You'd make
I would make such a good Wheeler.
Head Wheeler.
Head Wheeler. Wheeler number one.
Rolling around. Rolling
and then I could maybe, that could be my audition for like Starlight Express.
Oh.
If you start as Wheeler and then you graduate to start to Rusty.
I haven't seen Starlight Express.
I haven't either. I'm just lying to your face. I saw it in I saw the German version.
The German. There is a version of Starlight Express that is in a German town, and it just happens all the time.
It's in Bochum. It's
Bochum,
a little town.
I
went over because my friend was one of the musical directors on it. So I thought I'll go and have a look at it. And I packed for a holiday in Germany, not really knowing what to pack for, but because I'm British, I packed Speedos and goggles.
Obviously.
And I turned up to this. Literally, it's in the middle of nowhere. You're surrounded by motorways. It's a bit like Milton Keynes.
Oh yeah,
and
lovely.
I was like, what a lovely place to be on holiday. And the only thing there is this is so I'm so lying here. There's probably more things. I'm so sorry. I'm being very British.
Sorry,
and stupid. Sorry, Bocca. You've got a lot going for you. But like the number one tourist draw is Starlight Express, and the theatre is more of a museum.
Mm.
You walk in and there's like the costumes.
There's like memorabilia and shit.
Yeah,
nice.
And if you're there and you're in Starlight Express, you are an absolute celeb.
Mm, mm.
Everyone knows you around the town. People constantly asking for photos.
I forgot to roller skate on you.
Yeah. Very that.
Come on, roller skate.
Start as a Vila.
A Vila.
I would be such a good wheeler.
Oh, that was a that film is terrifying.
It's really traumatizing.
Yeah, they try and give her fucking shock therapy at the
they
start.
Do.
Yeah.
They actually do, don't they?
Yeah.
And the headless princesses.
Yeah.
Well, just the heads.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a scary scene.
And the Gnome King, that's allergic to eggs.
That's he is a queer icon because he loves those little ruby slippers. And he sat there, doesn't he?
And he pokes them out.
There's that shot of him like pointing his little gnomey toes with the ruby slippers on. And Dorothy's like, please can I have them? Like, he's like, no, I like them to eat.
Queer,
I'm like, come on.
I love the idea of coming up with really rogue queer icons like
Gnome
the Gnome King,
from Return to Oz.
That's fucking fantastic. So when you look back at what happened at that time, do you feel anxious thinking about it? Does it bring up bad things to you, or is it one of those things that like you look at it and kind of go, fuck, it was hard at the time, but I'm actually really glad it happened?
I mean, I still every now and then think maybe I shouldn't have got rid of it and should have maybe invested in the things that Barney on Jurassic was suggesting, because I just made the plunge because it was lockdown and everywhere was shut.
Mm.
I was like, I just want to get rid of it and not worry about it anymore.
Yeah.
But then, of course, you damage every follicle completely from that moment on, and then it's never going to grow back properly ever again. So I'm sort of a bit like, oh, maybe I should have at least tried. But on the whole, no regrets, really, because, I was at the time, it was really getting me down.
Mm.
It was to be able to see in the mirror something that, you know, you can't hide it.
No.
And I'm very good at hiding when I'm down, as I think a lot of us are. But when you're confronted with it and you can see the evidence, it's like you just want rid.
Yeah, 100%.
And I'm far happier now without it.
Yeah.
And, thank God it suits me. But yeah, I think if I were to think too heavily on it, yes, I would get heart palpitations thinking about, I just spent so long trying desperately to cling on to like something that I clearly wasn't anymore.
God, but that's so, it's so hard. And so many of us do it.
And like
it's
I
really
say,
hard.
Hair above all, of all things, isn't the worst thing ever. But when it is an identifier of how you see yourself and how others see you, it does throw you for six a little bit when you have to.
What advice would you give to someone who is maybe going through something similar now?
I would above all say that if you're finding you're putting more effort into sustaining it and that's getting you down, that's when you need to sort of take some action and don't try and cling on to something, because you'll only be disappointing yourself.
Yeah.
You'll be looking in the mirror, comparing yourself constantly. And I think you need to carve out an image of what you could be and who you could be that's separate to every other person and image you'll be comparing yourself to.
Yeah.
I know for a fact that people that go through it will be looking at Instagram photos and going, oh my God, they've got such good hair. Why don't I have that hair?
Yes.
And you need to be really self-aware and, I don't know, you just need to be... You need the self-awareness to be able to separate your own image from that and find something in the mirror that you adore about yourself and realise that actually you're probably focusing on it so much more than others are.
Oh my God, yeah, 100%.
But just, there's so many different routes you could go down with it, and that's why I got rid of all of mine, because I got overwhelmed with all the different options of, you know, treatments and
but it's the idea of like picking a treatment or going for it and then and putting so much energy and time into that and then going, oh, it didn't work, so I've picked another one. I've now lost 6 months of it.
Exactly.
It's just so
and
much.
I just couldn't be arsed with that, and I'm sure that works really well for a lot of people, but for me, I just got rid of it, and now I'm doing the jobs that I want to be doing, and I've got you know, I'm much happier looking in the mirror now that it's all gone, and I don't have to worry if I go to a room with white sheets.
Don't have to worry about it. Not
you know, too. So it's a lot deeper than you're making it, I think.
Yeah.
And once you're out of it, and once you shake it off, you'll be very happy.
Yeah.
But it's there's so much more about you than your bloody hair.
It's the acceptance of it. It's really difficult, and I think the thing about what we talked about your casting changing, is difficult, but also kind of fantastic.
Yeah.
And this is very specific to actors, but it is like an interesting point, not something we discuss a lot, but you know, for women, a lot of the time we experience it in like the way there are all these roles for, you know, the ingenue girl who's the sexy one. And then suddenly you're going up for like tired mum of four.
Absolutely.
And you're like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
It's hard.
It's so archaic, actually, these casting brackets.
Yeah.
And the whole thing needs a big overhaul. It's very similar,
yeah.
I feel. It's so reliant on just your external appearance.
Mm.
But then there are people who are much more open-minded. And when you work for those people, oh, it's a dream.
Oh, the best.
And you're putting out the art that's actually important and useful and exciting rather than just fitting yourself into narrow-minded categories.
Do you think, and did it inspire your show at all? Do you think?
Well, I would say I went through a whole identity crisis in lockdown.
Mm.
Hair was obviously related to that. But I came to terms with the fact that I don't really identify as a cis guy anymore and non-binary and gender fluid.
Mm.
And that absolutely propelled my creativity for my show.
Yeah.
They sort of ran alongside one another because I was living back home in lockdown.
Yeah.
And I found all of these VHS tapes of when I put on these shows in my living room as a kid. And in all of those videos, I'm playing the girls, I'm playing the... And it was never about sexuality. It was never about who I'd end up falling in love with or sleeping with or fancying.
Mm.
It was just about how I chose to express myself.
Yeah.
And something about those early innocent days of going, looking back at those days and going, oh, that's when you were happiest. Playing those roles and wearing those clothes. It wasn't just dress up. I used to just do it all the time. I'd just be sitting about eating dinner in a dress and a little wig. and it was never about who I'd shag. Oftentimes I think people look at kids wearing clothes that aren't associated with their gender and they'll go, oh, you're going to be gay. Yes, I did end up falling in love with men. However, I never really considered those that, I don't know, I never considered them the same. And I've got plenty of straight male friends who are like, I used to do the same as well. That's just how I used to express myself.
Yeah.
I used
to dress as a boy all the time.
Yeah. In lockdown, I had time to look back at those early days and think, oh, and I mean, what's the worst that can happen? The world is literally stopped. There's no harm in, you know, finally expressing yourself the way you wanted to, but sort of put it to the back of your mind because you're going from audition to audition, trying to fit yourself in that category. You know, you should be Bok, you should play Marius, you should be a barricade boy.
Yeah.
And it's just relentless. So then when the world stopped, you go, well, so then the show happened, which is all about that.
Yeah.
And I went through a big old identity journey.
That's fucking amazing. Well, it's like sometimes...
Lots of people did, actually.
Oh, yeah, 100%. That time forced us to reevaluate so
much. Yeah,
just
put things into perspective and go, okay, what actually matters? Who do you want to be when the world reopens?
Do
you want to go back to trying to impress? Do you want to go back to trying to fit yourself into something that is not meant for you? Or do you want to, you know, move forward as who you really are? And I think, horrific time for everybody, but you know, it gave time for pause, if anything.
Yeah,
100%. As horrible as it was,
it really did give time for pause and be able to go, oh fuck, you know, what am I going to put my energy into that's actually going to be beneficial?
Yeah,
you know, not just for me, but for you know, the world, everybody. Yeah. Just what is actually important? What do I need to worry about? What do I not need to worry about? You know, it's those books. There's a few of them. There's one really good one by Mark Mason. I want to say his name is, which is the subtle. I think it's The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck.
Yes, it is.
Yeah,
yeah. I haven't read it, but I see it all dotted around everywhere.
Yeah. And it's just, and it's not the thing of going, don't give a fuck about this. It's just, it's actually just carefully choosing what you actually do give a fuck about.
Yes.
Which is the...
Mark Manson. There you go.
Mark Manson. Yeah. It's, and because I think a lot of people are like, oh, you know, it's about not giving a fuck. And it's like, no. It is about giving a serious fuck. It's just about what you choose to give a fuck about.
Yes.
And what actually really matters.
Yeah.
How did, and this is a personal question, but how did you find, like, did you, with dating life once the hair went, did you find that changed at all? Like the attitude towards it changed at all?
I think dating in the queer world is I found it really difficult anyway. I've never quite known where I fit. And if you feel that you don't really fit into one of the like grinder categories, then it's like, well, where the hell do you sit?
Field.
Yeah, it's like literally a field.
A field. With, not just the app, guys. Yeah. Going sitting in the field.
A bottle and a spliff and cry.
Fantastic.
With no friends.
Great afternoon.
I've always found it very difficult. And I guess actually it's got better. There's been more interest since I got rid of it all. Just because I think I come across as more confident when you meet me in person, whereas before I was a little bit of a wallflower. Now I don't really give as much of a shit. So I don't know. But I don't know. Nothing's happening really. But that's okay.
That's okay.
I'm not necessarily looking. I'm looking. If you listen to this, please, please drop me a DM.
I'm not looking.
But you know, it's also like, oh, I'm busy.
Yeah.
I'm busy. That's what we all say in it. Busy. Just to deflect from the fact that we're lonely.
Yep, stuff going on.
No, it's fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's very difficult because I still live at home, moving down to London next month though. So that'll make life easier. Can't wait. But at the minute, it's like I'm in London for a day at a time and then I have to go home.
Yeah.
And it's just difficult.
Yeah.
And funny enough, the queer scene in my Leicestershire village is pretty limited.
Is it?
Are you shocked? I am the only gay in the village, you know. No, there's actually a lesbian couple called Susie and Bronya, and I'm kind of gutted. Okay. I'm like, excuse me, this is my thing.
Did they arrive after you as well?
No, they were there before me.
Oh, God. They're probably livid when you arrived.
I know. I was there, I was like, oh, God. Oh,
shit.
Thought it was for me. But yeah. But who knows, maybe one day where I'll just be doomed to be a bachelorette for all of my days.
So we've talked a lot about different parts of you, the journey and your hair and your journey with that and what happened, how you feel about yourself. One thing I'd really, really like to know, it's my favourite question, is what are the parts of you that you really value and cherish?
I really value that I am, for the limited friends that I do actually have, I'm very loyal. I'm a good friend, I like to think. Maybe I'm not. Maybe they'll listen and be like, you're the shittest friend ever.
I get so many messages.
They'll be like,
He thinks we're friends.
I know.
We're not.
It's all personality based, really. I think I'm a lovely person, if I'm allowed to say that. I'm a good laugh. I don't take life seriously at all, really. Yeah. Used to. Don't anymore, not post-COVID, I think, when there's something that horrific happening in the world.
Yeah.
You know, we're all right, really. And we're all fucked up. I think I'm self-aware to know that we've all got our own things going on. And I have to, like, zoom out of our tiny little ant status into the universe.
And
think about how we are, you know, our issues are pale in significance, I think, often.
Yeah.
And as horrible and hard as they are, we can push through if we're surrounded by the right people.
Yeah.
That's just really important to me, to be to always be surrounded by good people and to be a good person to those people.
Yeah.
Because you know, jobs will come and go, career goes up and down, dates will come and go, but if you've got the self-awareness and the right friendship group,
yeah,
whatever they do, they don't have to be, you know, in theatre or
they
telly
don't have
or
to
whatever.
Be in the biz.
They really don't, and I think it's very healthy if they're not most of the time. That's what really matters.
And
I consider myself a good pal and a good mate to go for a little chinwag with.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a good writer.
Yeah,
I'd say I'm a very good writer. They're my good skills. I'm a good observer, comedy and all that shite. So if you want a laugh, then
I want a good old laugh.
Slide into the DMs if you want to laugh at Uncle
they
Fester.
They are wide open.
Yeah, the DMs are wide open to laugh at a little bald head.
So we have a portion of the podcast we like to call thank you letters, where we ask you to express gratitude for a person, a place or a thing or one of all three for which you are grateful.
Yeah.
You can do as many or as few as you like.
Okay, so I'm very grateful, Cringe, for my parents. They're lovely.
See, they seem fucking fantastic.
They are icons. They really are.
Other than your dad giving you a pencil haircut.
Other than my dad turning me into Claire from Fleabag that one time in lockdown. Other than that, pretty solid. They're really nice. My mum's an icon. She looks up to Jane McDonald in every way, and for that reason I aspire to be her. She can't swallow a paracetamol tablet, which went viral on TikTok, so thanks for the online fame, mum. It's very, very funny. You should all check out my mum trying to swallow a tablet.
Can we get that up after this so I can see it?
I captioned it, "This is what happens when my mum takes paracetamol," meaning she can't swallow it, but it looks like she's having a seizure. So the comments were all like, "It's only a paracetamol. What's she actually taking? Are you sure she's taking them?" I'm like, "No, it's because she gets stuck in the back of her throat. You have to watch it. You have to be there."
One of the sexiest things I've ever seen is, again, I want to keep talking. So guys, it's because when Brennan Rees came on not that long ago, I kept on going, "I need to get myself a boyfriend." He went, "You got to stop saying it like that." And I was like, "Because I need somewhere to go at Christmas." So now I'm talking about the fact I actually have a boyfriend. But one of the sexiest fucking things that he's ever done, and he is a very sexy individual. So, oh God, I hate using the word sexy. It's so horrible.
So sexy. He's like an Adonis. He's like Herculean.
He's like,
that the testosterone is just flowing through his beautiful ripple.
Narcissus in the river. Flowing through his beautiful rippling body. But he asked for painkillers the other day, and this house is rife with painkillers because I've got endometriosis. And I know, thanks.
I'm sorry.
That's all I want to hear. All I want is that validation.
I am talking about my bald head.
I know. You know, sorry. All the problems are.
You need to recenter yourself sometimes. When you're asking your guests their issues, you must be thinking, fucking hell,
is the lining of your womb growing outside the womb?
Whilst you're doubled over in pain in the corner going, gosh, it must be so hard to have shaved your head.
Is that bad for you?
Everything's relative. I guarantee if I had a womb, I would have it. I get everything. Yeah. I can't catch a break.
Everything. It's fucking annoying. He asked for some painkillers. I gave him some painkillers, and he just went and swallowed them both with no water.
Wow.
I went, I was like,
your legs just opened immediately.
Yeah, literally. That's when we first had sex.
Wow.
No, it wasn't.
I shall tell him I've heard all. No, not yet. That would be silly. That would be foolish.
Oh, he's gonna fucking hate this.
Like when you did Teenage Dirtbag at your audition. Have I got the job? No, don't be stupid. So we're going to shag now. No, don't be dumb. But we've been going out for nearly half a year. No, don't be
no,
so silly.
No. That's not what
That's
you're
very
for.
Presumptuous of you, actually.
It's like your cat in your
you
house.
You must wait. So yeah, my parents. What's another fun thing that I could... Greggs. I love Greggs. I'm very grateful
what
for Greggs
in my
life.
What would you get from Greggs?
Sausage and cheese bean melt if lovely. It was early before 12. And then I'd get a vegan sausage roll and a little pink jammy. I'm not a vegan, but I do love those vegan sausage rolls. There's something about them.
Honestly, I was on my way to filming the other day, and that was my thing before going to work, and it was just unreal.
Yeah.
Unreal.
That's sexy.
Yeah, that's... It's really...
That's swapping a tablet without water.
That's very cool.
I'm actually getting quite hot thinking about it right now.
Greg's, your parents, anything else or anywhere else you want to shout out?
Probably not, no. That's probably it.
Those are two good ones.
I'm grateful to be here, surrounded by so many instruments. I'm only just looking now.
Again, this is Brennan Rees coming in here and going, your parents aren't together, are they? So, no, and he went, yeah, no one who has that many ukuleles on the wall. Came from a solid household.
No one has to write that many songs.
No one is looking for this much distraction. There's a sewing machine over there as well. There is so... Everything in this house just reeks of being like, don't look at it!
You need the overstimulation, and I respect that a lot. Yeah. Grateful to be here, to be honest. What a lovely little day I've had. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for coming all the way from your Leicestershire village.
Oh, my tiny little village. It's just nice to not be the only gay.
Can't. Yeah, amazing.
Yeah, it's lovely.
Lovely. And you're going to be here soon. And
yes, I will be.
Your show is going... Are we allowed to talk about... No, your show. Had a show.
I had a show, and I am...
looking at you, I'm sorry. I've literally never done that, I'm sorry.
Well, it depends when this is coming out.
A couple of weeks.
Just to be safe. Yes, I did a show last year, and we are going to do it again next year. And I'll be able to talk about that very soon.
Yee!
So stay tuned
it's
for more
so
info.
Chic. So chic. Chic.
Oh, it's very, very chic.
Can't talk
very
about edgy. It. Very
yeah.
chic.
I know.
Thank you so much for coming. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for putting up with Mickey, even though he's just disappeared.
I love him. Mm. I want to take him home.
He's a little shit.
The way you tried to find a nicer noun.
I just snorted in the moment.
Did you?
Thank you so much for coming.
That's
this was
on a snort.
Absolutely fucking divine.
What a dream.
What a dream.
Thank you.
Dreamed a dream and I had it.
I dreamed a dream in time gone by, as Patty would say with her perm.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.